Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy of all glory, all power, all praise. Hallelujah. Thank you for your great salvation. We don't even know all of the benefit of your salvation. We don't even know how great a salvation we have. We haven't come into all of the benefit yet, but we are. Hallelujah. And we want it all. And we want to give you all the glory, all the praise. We want to give you thanks. And we do it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay, you may be seated. We're going to continue now. We've been working our way through for a long time. And I have a whole series of messages all lined up. They don't have to be in the same order. So I'm kind of mixing up the order a little bit. But the main thing is that you get all of the message. And by the way, every time we have a tongue, an interpretation, or a prophecy, or whatever, it is lining up perfectly with what I'm sharing with you, what God has been speaking. I had a guy last night, I've never met him before, and he came to Bill and Karen Files' meeting, and he said, "Do you know?" And he named this preacher's name. And I said, "No, I never heard of him before in my life." He said, "I just listened." And he had exactly the same message that you're bringing tonight. We don't even have to talk to each other. But we're all listening to God. And God is speaking. Now, what we're getting of all of this, we have things that we would like for God to do. But then God has an agenda of what he wants to do. Okay? And so, on my part, I've decided to surrender to his agenda. Okay? The message I'll be bringing you today, he's been setting up for the last 5 days. That's a little bit over 5,000 years. Okay? But he's had to get everything in place. He had to get the gospel spread all over the earth. And that took time. But he has people everywhere. We haven't reached every place yet. But he has enough. Now he is going to fulfill. He said, "I'm going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." Amen. That's pretty full coverage. Hallelujah. And he's going to do it through you and all the other people around, all of the true believers around the earth. He's about to turn the lights on. Hallelujah. And his glory is going to shine. Hallelujah. Okay, what I want to bring you today then is I've titled it God Dwelling Among Us, Emmanuel. Be a good Christmas message, I guess. But I want to talk to you about the promise, singular. I know I've mentioned it to you from time to time, but I want you to have all the scriptures about this. Okay, the promise, and Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father." And it is singular. Now, if you read the Bible, it's full of promises. Some people say there's 400 promises, some say 500, some say 600. I don't think anybody knows. For me, every time I open the Bible, it doesn't matter where, there's a promise. So to me, the whole Bible is a promise. But it doesn't matter about that. But Jesus was referring to one single thing called the promise. Now, the people, the disciples he was talking to, understood what the promise was. The promise is real basic. I will be your God. I will dwell among you, be your God. I'm going to walk among you and be your God. Okay? And so God, we talked about this last month, everybody's excited about the rapture and getting out of here. You know, like, you know, God's kind of given up on this whole idea of what he wanted to do. And as everything failed, he's just going to take us home. You know, no, he's not doing that. He has a lot he wants to do. And if we're following the Jewish calendar, then we have like 249 years before the end of the 6,000th year, which would then be the start of the 7,000th, which would be the Sabbath or the millennium. But God has something he wants to do, and that is he wants to come and live among us. He wants to be our God. He wants to manifest himself, and next month we'll talk about the glory that will be manifested when then we'll really go into the seed, how he's going to do that. Okay, so before we do that, I find it real interesting, and if I can get it to come up here, that would be nice. All of you probably know Acts 1:8. What is Acts 1:8? That you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, or the Greek word is martyrs, a martyr. Okay? You're going to die for me. Okay, so you're going to have power to die. Hallelujah! Okay, how many of you can quote for me Acts 1:7? Okay, read it out loud for us.
Well, it's a little different version, but it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority.
He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has in his own authority. In other words, it's none of your business. But you shall receive power. See, that's the but is in there. It's not you shall receive power. It's but. What's he saying? He's saying, now, here's the way it's going to be. I've set certain times, and that's my business. But in the meantime, I'm going to empower you to be my disciples. I'm going to live among you. I'm going to be your God. How long is he going to be doing that? He says, it's none of your business. If God wants you to have faith for something, he will put it in his word. If faith isn't required, then he doesn't put it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. For instance, I happen to believe that tomorrow morning the sun will come up. But I may get doubtful. What if I lose my faith that the sun will come up tomorrow? Will it still come up? Yes. Why? Because God has that in his power. In other words, it's not my faith that makes the sun come up. And it's not my faith that's going to cause certain events and times to be fulfilled. I hunger for the coming of the Lord. Maranatha, Maranatha, yeah. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now take me away, come here. I need you here. And so, and everyone for months now has been saying, what is it? I know something is happening. What is it? And it's not something's going to be in the future. We're seeing the results of it everywhere. God is coming and living among us. So let's follow up on this. Then in Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Okay, what is the promise? Exodus 29, 45, and 46. I will dwell among the children of Israel. I will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now this has been the desire of God from the very beginning. When he created the earth, he created it with purpose. Faith, love, working together, the faith carrying out what the love of God needed. God needed to be able to love. See? And so he created the earth, put man on the earth as the object of his love. Okay? But he also needed for that same object to love him back. Therefore, he gave us free will. Because love can't be love without the opportunity to not love. Okay? So now God has this perfect setup, and he comes in the cool of the evening every day to visit with Adam and Eve. And we don't know how long that went on. It could have gone on for 1,000 years. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us how long that went on. All we know is that when Adam sinned, that fellowship was broken. But Jesus came to reestablish what Adam lost. That's all Romans chapter 5 is about. We don't have time to read the entire chapter, but in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. And so now, God, what God is doing right here, 2018, is all he wanted to do in the garden, is to come and be with his people. But he had to get things set up. And it's taken, like I said, it's taken a long time. But now he's got it all set up where he can come and live among us. Amen. And be our God, walk among us. Okay? Leviticus 26, verses 11 and 12. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Exodus 25, 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And of course, they built the sanctuary, the tabernacle. Then they built the temple. He dwelt in the temple until the very moment Jesus died on the cross. And when that when Jesus said, it is finished, at that very moment, people have studied it out, said at that very moment, that very instant, when he said, it is finished, the high priest was there to bring the knife down on the lamb that was to be slain for the sins of the people. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And God escaped. Hallelujah. God got out. And he's here. And he's here among us, walking among us, dwelling among us. See? Hallelujah. Zechariah 2:10. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Okay? Now, New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God had said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Hallelujah. What a promise.
Yes.
See, what? This is the promise, singular, in the New Testament. It's not just for Israel. It's for us.
Hallelujah.
He's going to come. He's going to, and we're going to be his sanctuary. We're going to be the temple of, I know I've taught you this probably many times over, but it's fun to look at the 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 6 because it says, you, in the King James, we love King James, ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But when you look at it in the Greek, it's really fun because in the one, it speaks of an individual. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Singular. So it's singular, singular. You are singular, the temple, singular.
Right.
See? But in the other, it says ye, but it's plural. But temple stays singular. So you, when you all come together, are still the temple singular.
Amen.
You're multiple people, temple singular. Isn't that neat?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you get 20,000 people together worshiping God, ye, plural, are the temple singular.
That's right.
And God says, this is what I want. This is what I want. I want to come. I'm still on plan A. Remember, we talked about dispensations. You know, that plan A didn't work, so he went to plan B, and that didn't work, so he went to plan C, and now he's just about to give up on the whole thing. You know, no, God's still on plan A, and he's having fun with it. He really enjoys living among us, working among us, being, he's in no hurry. You know, this is day five and a half for him. A day with the Lord's like 1,000 years. You know, so he's 5.5 days into this thing, and he's enjoying every minute of it. But what he's really enjoying is your response to him coming among you. Your worship time, have you noticed how it has increased in the last few months?
Yeah.
And you think that's something, wait till the next few months. Because this thing is just increasing and increasing. I get in his presence and I start worshiping. I don't care. I don't want to come out. I don't want to eat. I don't want to drink. I don't want to sleep. I just want to be, I just can't get enough of his presence. He's loving it. He said, Adam may not have wanted it, but you do. And so I'm coming. And I'm going to dwell among you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. You're going to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And everything I do, next month we'll talk about glory. That he could just come and flash glory all over the earth, but he's not going to do it. He's going to manifest his glory through his people. Hallelujah. And I'll show you all the scriptures. I have probably too many scriptures for an hour time, but I'll give you as many scriptures as I can on the manifestation of the glory of God and how he's going to do that. Okay? Hallelujah. So here we move along. Revelation. Yeah, we're clear to the end. I thought this was all over by Revelation 21. Wouldn't you think so? I mean, you get clear to the last chapter. You know, wouldn't you think it's all over?
Yeah.
No, it's not over. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The tabernacle of God is with men. I was teaching on this in one of my Bible studies, and I was telling them about the New Jerusalem coming down and everything, and the nations, and they said, well, I thought all the nations were burned up by then. No. There's nothing in the Bible that says that there'll ever be an end to nations. The New Jerusalem, what does it say? That we'll be able to go out from the city, taking the leaves of the trees that grows on each side of the river, out to the nations for the healing of the nations, for their healing, for their blessing. But it also says, now nothing defiled can come in, but the nations will bring their glory into the New Jerusalem. And there's nothing in the Bible that says it will. In fact, it's almost the last verse of the Bible says, God speaking, let the wicked be wicked and let the righteous be righteous. That's God's conclusion. In other words, God's not upset at any of it. He's having fun with all of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's not, I'm so nervous. It just seems like the enemy is about to take over. Wringing his hands. What else can I do? No. I think I did this. I'm not really sure. But did you ever wonder how much glory and how much grace is available? How much grace is there out there? How much grace? Well, you get your calculator out. My phone has a calculator. And so what you do is you punch in all of the sin that's on the earth. Figure up all the evil that's on the earth. And then you punch the button that says much more. How much more? See, how much more? There's where sin abounds, grace does abound much more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there's more of God than there is sin.
Yes.
There's more of victory, more of salvation than there is evil.
Yes.
But because of the news media and everything, all they want to do is report on the evil. They don't want to report on the good. See? So man, I could stand here and just testify of the entire time of the marvelous things that God is doing. I'll just give you one testimony. This guy has a Christian bookstore, and he's also a pastor in Sedalia, Missouri. And last Sunday, he had a family come. This lady brought her mother. Now, her mother had never been to church. And this is a very worshiping, very alive church. And so she comes in and she said, well, I don't know what this is, but this is wonderful. This feels really great. I'd like to be a part of this. I don't even know how to start. I don't know how to pray. And they very wisely said, we'll teach you. And so a group of them went to her house that afternoon. They didn't do any more, just other visit with her at the church. But they went to her house, and they set a circle of chairs, and they said, we're going to pray. And each one of us will pray around the circle and just listen to our prayer. But mostly we're going to be doing praise. We're going to be worshiping God. We're going to be giving Him thanks. So when we come to you, All you have to do is if you just say, thank you, God, or I worship you, God, or I love you, God, whatever you want to do, you know, when it comes your turn, and we can go around however many times, you know, that we need to, but we want you to learn to talk to God. And so anyway, they went around the circle, and each one prayed, you know, just a short prayer, and they came around, finally they got around to her, and she said, thank you, kashakapoto hale matala mahati, hurayama kushi aburu haliyata delalomo. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Do we serve a living God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. John 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me and keep my commandments, which is to love one another, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, so it's only for believers, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's the will of God. That's what God's up to. That's what God wants. He wants to live in you.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. And now in the, of course, we say Holy Spirit. See? But from the Hebrew, it's not Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Holy dwelling among you. The Spirit of the Holy dwelling among you. The Spirit of the Father. The Spirit of Son. The Holy Spirit Himself. The Spirit of the Holy be upon you. Hallelujah. Be filled. He's with you. He's in you. And He's having a good time. Hallelujah. And it's going to increase. I can tell you that by next week, you will experience a tremendous increase. And by the week after that, and by the time I get back next month, you know, it's going to be something.
Praise God.
You just watch and see. And get in His presence. Don't be in any hurry. When I got through ministering last night, and I think I ministered for 3 hours, 3.5 hours over at Bill and Karen's. But the Spirit of God was so tremendous, and everyone wanted benefit of that and receiving that. And she makes these great big meals. I always just take a little bit of food because I know I'm not going to get to eat because I'm going to be ministering. And so I just took a drumstick, and it took me probably an hour to eat the meat off the drumstick, and a little piece of cheesecake, you know. But they came, and they, you know, we're just sitting at the table after, this is after the service is over, after we've eaten, and they just come. But my main thing was, we're in no hurry. We're not just going to say a prayer and run away. Let me minister to you until you have all that you want and more. See, God doesn't want you just to have enough. He wants you to have so much that you'll have plenty to give away to other people. Right? He wants you to be super saturated with Himself so that no matter who you meet, you're going to be able to give God away. The blessings of God, by the gifts of God, by His grace, by His anointing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Fact is, you know, of course, Jesus talked about, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm going to go and set the captives free, you know, and he has all the different things. But it says in Acts 10:28, isn't it? How God anointed. See, anointing is power meeting need. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This is the reason the Son of God was made manifest, to undo, dissolve, loosen, and destroy all the work the devil has done. Hallelujah. And now he has ordained you, he has anointed you. And so I like to say it this way, how God anointed Wayne Brooke of Forsyth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And you can do exactly the same thing, because God didn't have any favorites. God only has intimates. You draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And every one of you say, can you put your name in there, and how God has anointed Bud from wherever, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what God's up to. See, that's what this is all about. I'm going to live among you. I'm going to walk among you. You're going to not only love one another, but you're going to love the unlovely. You know. And of course, I'm just having the time of my life. One of my main projects is Kim Jong-un. I talk to you about this all the time, but every morning I get up and I put my arms around Kim Jong-un, just like if I was in North Korea, you know. And I say, Kim Jong-un, I love you, and God loves you, and I set you free for you to receive Jesus Christ. I forgive all of your sin. I set you free from communism and from the demons that try to control your life. But God has a plan for you. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's good.
You see, Kim Jong-un, in his system, he has set up so that every home has a monitor. And they can't turn the monitor off. If you do, you die. You know, they'll kill you if they find out you've turned the... And so the propaganda is pumped out through this TV thing through all of the homes. See? Now what's going to happen when he's born again? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he said, good morning, nation. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I would like to tell you how to be born again.
Amen. Yes.
And I would like to set all of you free to worship God. Hallelujah. Of course, the last report, there's 400,000 believers in North Korea right now. But they really need our prayers because the persecution's heavy. But God is with them.
Amen.
But God is with them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And they are multiplying. And I can see the gospel spreading through the military. Hallelujah. And spreading all over. Now, here's what God told me. He said the church of North Korea will be the most powerful church on earth. By the time he's done, the church in North Korea, they are the most persecuted people on earth at this moment. And they are going to be the most powerful church. There's a great church in South Korea. But the church of North Korea is going to even be greater than the one in South Korea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get to be a part of that every day. Hallelujah. Okay. So, if you love one another... He said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I guess you've noticed that. because it neither sees him nor knows him. But, there's another one of those buts, but you know him. You know him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And he will be with you and in you. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Excuse me. And the fear of the Lord. Perfecting holiness. Come out from among them and be separate. See, one thing, you know, we talk about the catching away of the church, but there's a lot of things going to take place. One, he is going to come. He's going to really manifest himself. We don't know how long that'll be. Maybe 1,000 years. I don't know. But he'll do it as long as he wants to. But I receive power, see, to be his witness. But some of the things that he tells us, just giving us information, it's nothing that we have to be in charge of. But we do know that he will take out the tares before the wheat. If you study the harvest, end time harvest, he says first. And he's very specific. This is God talking to us. He says first, before I harvest the wheat, I'm going to send my angels, the reapers, and they will take the tares out first. That hasn't happened. He said there'll be an apostasy, a great falling away. He said there's going to be evil like has never been on the earth. See, so there's a lot of things that are yet in the making, but God had all of this in mind before he ever created the heavens and the earth. Now this is a surprise to God. Now, I mean, if you follow a dispensation, it's like, you know, when God couldn't do anything else, he sent his son. Like, boy, I'm just to the end of my wits, I don't know what to do. No, Jesus was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Man hadn't even sinned yet when God was already providing our salvation. I think he can handle things, don't you? I think I'll just place my faith in him rather than trying to tell him what to do. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now we begin to understand Romans 8. 28 and 29. Oh, this verse has been so misused. Here's how it goes. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, too bad, you know. God wrecked your car, killed your baby, started wars. Mean old God. But it's good. It's all going to work out for good for you. Hogwash. Not what he's talking about at all. He's saying the earth is full of evil. But I have come for your salvation. I have come to correct and make things right. I'm going to do good. And in the midst of this, yes, you're going to face all kinds of things because of the sin of Adam. But I'm here to fix it. But it doesn't matter what Satan does. It doesn't matter what people do. If you'll turn it to me, see, in the actual Greek, it would read, in all things, God works together for good. God doesn't make people sick. He doesn't wreck your car. See? But in all things, see? Yeah, we're going to, like Mark said, we're all going to have things come up. That's okay. I happen to know the fixer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I know the one that can fix it. Therefore, I have confidence. So what's he after? What's he up to? Advertisement for sermon 4 from now. Okay, here we go. 4, another one of those conjunctions, like the but, this is the 4, okay? 4, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. What is he doing? He is transforming us into the image of his son. And he, and that's 6 down the row, he put his seed in us. The seed is the person of Jesus. We have that seed inside of us that is changing us from glory to glory, changing us into the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, he is changing us. And that's one of the things he's up to. So, yes, you're going to face all kinds of things. But if you'll just keep with him, keep loving him, keep worshiping him, keep believing, keep trusting, he will actually change you into the image of Jesus Christ. And it goes, whew,
yeah.
That'll never happen. Yes, it will.
Amen.
Because God said it'll happen.
Yeah.
If God says it, and it's predestined. He said, I predestined this. Before I ever created the heavens and the earth, I predestined to live inside of you and change you so that you'll be my body on the earth. See? Like I said, this is only day 5 and a half. Now, he's not about to fold this thing up yet. You know, he has it all perfectly lined out. I trust him with all of that.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And he doesn't even have to discuss it with me. I just happen to know he's in charge. And what is the purpose? That he might be the firstborn. Firstborn indicates there's going to be a secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, millionth born. 20 million born? No. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:15. He is the image, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I've already quoted it. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. We're being transformed, metamorphosed into the same image from glory to glory, meaning a process. Hallelujah. Being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. How? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That seed that's planted in us. We'll do a whole study on the seed. And I'll explain that, how God's doing that inside of each believer. All over the earth. Hallelujah. Manifesting himself. But he said, now your part, your main part, is to trust me, believe in me, and to love one another. Remember we did Ephesians. It's the unity of the Spirit. Going back to the John, if you keep my commandments to love one another, my Father and I, we will come and we'll make our home with you. We're going to actually we're going to walk among you. We're going to be your God. See, you're going to be our people. If you could just see the excitement of God, you're my people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You're my people. This is what I've always wanted.
Thank you.
From the moment I created Adam, this is what I wanted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Genesis 1:26. Then the Lord said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And to be able to walk in that, you know, I was coming up yesterday. Yeah, I drove through quite a bit of rain. Coming up, it was a real strange rain. It was a misty, and the wind would blow in it, and you couldn't hardly see through it. It was such tiny particles, but so many of them. And I got on this side of St. Louis, and of course I was watching on radar, and all of a sudden, it disappeared. And I was watching it, and it turned, and it went north. It's like, well, that's really strange. I've never seen it do that before. I get over to Bill and Karen's, and they said, there's a wedding going on at the campground. And so we prayed that God would turn the rain, and it obeyed us. It just came up, and then it turned and headed north. They didn't get one single sprinkle during the entire wedding. It was an outdoor wedding.
Amen.
Do we serve a living God?
Amen.
Yeah. And can we command the fish? Yeah. Ronnie likes to go fishing with me.
Yeah.
I have authority over the fish. I can actually just call them in. I can go out in 15 minutes, have my limit of whatever I'm fishing for. And people all over the condos, they say, well, there goes Wayne. He'll be back in 15 minutes with his limit. They'll go out there and sit for hours and not catch anything.
No.
I just go out and I worship God. I don't go fishing. I go worshiping. Now I say, fish, come to my bait. Right, Ronnie?
That's right.
I'm there. Hallelujah. Took him fishing, and we sat there for quite a while because I wanted to demonstrate to him the presence of God, the power of God. So we sat there, we just visited. I said, well, Ronnie, you about ready to catch fish? And he kind of looked at me funny. And I said, what we're going to do is, back then I just had a little aluminum boat with wire baskets. I said, now, in order to catch the fish, you have to put your faith out. You take your basket, and when you put it in the water, then the action starts. And so I didn't anymore get it in the water, and he caught this big old trout. And we caught our limit in just a very short time. Pulled him in, and then who was you with at Carlisle Lake that was doing it? One of the little girls. Hallelujah. God loves to go fishing. Yeah. Fact is, he can fill your boat up with fish if you throw on the right side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The point being, what will it be like when God actually just lives among us? And we're not going to go fishing, okay? We're going to go with God, whatever God is doing. If God goes fishing, fine, we'll go fishing. But whatever he's up to, because he's our God, he's living among us. See, you need to understand this, that God didn't put a computer chip in Jesus. That was pre-programmed for 3.5 years of ministry. Or as some people think, well, Jesus and the Father, when he would go to the mountain to pray, they would talk it all over and they'd figure out what they were going to do for the day. And then Jesus would go down and do all of that. That's not what the Bible says. What did Jesus? Jesus explains this to us. He said, now here's the way this works. I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I hear my Father speak. So it was Father and Son, and whatever the Father was doing at that moment, that's what Jesus was doing at that moment. Whatever the Father was speaking at that moment. He said, don't premeditate ahead of time. See, that's where we get all of our doubt and unbelief, is we try to figure it all out and get it all in our minds before we even leave. And you know, and then it don't work. Hey, if you just hang out with Jesus. I pastored a church in Huntsville, Alabama. I had this guy, he was an engineer, very brilliant mind, worked for Redstone Arsenal with all of the outer space program and all of that stuff. And but he was just the most wonderful evangelist. And I love to go with him, because he'd just be walking down the street, and he may walk past 20 people, not say a word to them, see one, and just start talking to them, and he'd lead them to the Lord. So that's neat. And so what I decided to do is spend as much time with him so I could learn how to lead people to Christ the way he did. There was one problem. He never did anything the same way twice. I couldn't learn anything. It'd be like following Jesus around to learn how to heal. Because he never did the same thing twice. Not the time you get this memorized and think, okay, I'll try this. Let's try spittle. Now, a good spittle ministry. That'll get it. And Jesus is off and he's doing something else. I thought we were going to do spittle ministry today. No, he said, I just do what I see my Father do. That takes fellowship with him. Spending time basking in his presence. Leaning on the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got it?
Amen.
Okay. Are you ready for phase two? Hallelujah. Next month, I plan on bringing glory. I'll talk to you about glory and the manifest of how God's going to do that. And we get to participate in that. But that's enough for now. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we worship you. We invite you, Lord. We invite you to come. Hallelujah. Live in us. Change us from glory to glory. Have yourself a good time. Accomplish all that you want to accomplish, even if we don't even understand it yet. Accomplish all that you want to accomplish. Change us into your image from glory to glory. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All the people said, amen. Thank you for coming. And if you need prayer, need anything, we'll be here to bless.